Blog Talk Radio.
I need your love, I need your time, when everything's wrong, you make it right. I feel so high, I come alive, I need to be free with you tonight. I need your love. Take a deep breath every time I pass your door. I know you're here, but I can't see you anymore. And that's the reason you're in the dark. I've been a stranger ever since we fell apart. And I feel so helpless here. Watch my eyes all fill with fear. Tell me, do you feel the same? Hold me in your arms again. I need your love, I need your time. When everything's wrong, you make it right. I feel so high, I come alive. I need to be free with you tonight. I need your
Hello, world. Happy Monday. You're listening to the Garden of Enlightenment with Lee Wildove. Unfortunately, Lee Wildove has been under the weather and won't be hosting the show tonight. So you're listening to Gray Eyes Smith. And these shows are brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on amazon.com filled with poetry from poets around the world. So please feel free to check those out as they help support these shows. And tonight's show is brought to you, based on some leftover poems from last week's show as well as some from my show yesterday. The first one is from a contest Lee Wildove and myself ran. It's called "I Miss You in Ways That Not Even Words Can Understand," a quote by Gemma Troy. And so that's the first one. And the second contest pieces will be your favorite springtime poem. So that's the gist of tonight's show. And I'm going to check the lines real quick and see if we have any callers. And we don't. Okay. All right. So I'm going to grab the first poem and post this up to the board. Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. So this is called "April is the Hardest Month" by Forgotten Dream. I gaze at blooming flowers perched on twiggy branches, tiny blushing petals unfurling, trembling in the crisp April breeze, and my chest tightens like icy fingers squeezing. Those buds are pink cheeks and puckered lips, the blossoming of smiles hidden in the place between the wind and the sun rays. I hear your laugh, wind chimes tinkling and leaves pirouetting. My mouth dry as scorching sand. Rainy eyes pour like winter storms. I gasp for air, breathe, a painter painting capturing the epitaph of missing you. Wow, that was beautifully penned. Very exquisitely sad and full of grief. But, you know, just a beautiful picture that she's painted on her epitaph of missing him. And I thought it was just a beautiful poem. Excellent job. Check the studio real quick here. Hello, Lee Wildove. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Gray.
Hi. Did you get a chance to hear that last poem?
Yes, I did. I was listening to you read it. You know, what I liked about this is, you know, how many times have we not gone out in nature and, you know, we're just out there enjoying it. And then all of a sudden we realize during this beautiful scenery where she talks about flowers blooming, I liked how she said the twiggly branches and how the petals were unfurling and the April breezes were breathing in, and then all of a sudden a memory sets in. And the memory is that, you know, that that they're forgetting this beautiful woman where it says the buds are pink cheeks and pucker lips and blossoming and smiles, and how she realizes while she's standing there in nature with the wind blowing that this coldness comes over her because she realizes that she's missing this person that was giving her warmth. I just thought this was beautifully penned. Good read.
Yeah, I have to agree. And thank you for that wonderful comment. Okay, hello Frank out there. And Phil, our group coordinator. I'm going to post this to the group.
Hey, Phil.
If you wouldn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
If you wouldn't mind when you see this, please. This is by Quiet Wolf.
And this is titled, "How Do I Recover from the Absence of My Treasure One?" by Quiet Wolf. Nicole, I walk alone in the middle of art shows, craft shows, in the midst of people. I see an elephant pen, painting, figurine, and I think of you. and how you would enjoy these little gifts from my heart. We walked the park one cold January day around the lake, silence, nothing moving. Holding hands, we talked of dreams of tomorrow, of hopes and fears, laughs and tears. We walked, and it felt right. Not you. 1 + 1 = 1. The walk, our life. The wolf surrendered to the elephant. Our path merged. We were that one. And we loved, married, oh my goodness, and grew old together the way it was supposed to be, but that was only in my mind. Sigh. And you left for sunshine, a very warm state, oranges, beaches, and the unfulfilled hope, or a better life without me. End poem.
Beautiful.
And his author's notes, he said that he requested a reader, and I almost broke down and cried. I would not be able to read this without it breaking down. Sorry. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very sad, tragic, right? You know, he has all this happening in his mind only to wake up to the reality that it's not true and that she's left him for the sunshine and a very warm state with oranges, beaches, and the unfulfilled hope of a better life without me. Yeah, just a beautiful, tragic, right? What did you think, Lee?
Well, it was deeply sad because he was describing their life together. You know, and that he enjoyed those quiet walks with her, that he enjoyed, that I presume she liked elephants, and he would go to art shows with her and craft shows, and, you know, he would pick up things like that for her, and she said that she would just love it because, you know, he bought the gifts from his heart. And then, of course, there was that breakup. And, you know, then he says that now he walks alone because she's no longer with him.
Yeah, absolutely. No, wonderful comment, Lee. Just a beautiful poem with a sad and tragic ending. And, fantastic poem. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem.
Hey, Melissa.
Okay, sorry. Here we go. Post this into the group. Okay, so this is by Vangeline. And we have a caller here. I'm going to bring them on before I read.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Naomi.
Hello.
Hey, Naomi.
Hello.
You doing great in yourself?
Oh, doing great, yeah. Sunny out today, so good for the moral.
Did you get a chance to hear that last poem?
No, I just phoned in. Just phoned
okay,
in
thank
a
you.
Second. I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine. I posted the next one if you wouldn't mind reading it, Naomi.
Okay, the one by Banjali.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
I play the piano like I know how, but it's just noise to the house. The plains were attacked by frost this morning. I found my mittens and sorrel boots and shook out my winter coat. It still smells like you and the worry-free winter I spent by your side when I didn't fear the blizzard of you being behind bars or shiver to the howl of a siren. We were stranded in love together, drinking hot liquids, and writing soft songs for your new album. I'd make pies from scratch just to lure you to the kitchen, and your arms would eat me whole. We made love in every room but the master, and my bed had an extra blanket in case your body disappeared into the night. But you always came back from the barn or field, half frozen, delirious, mumbling something about an agitated horse or fox getting stuck in the fence. Sometimes the dogs would bark and you'd grab your shotgun and head out in your boxer shorts. I'd get goosebumps watching you walk out the door and into the snow, no clothes on. How warm your blood was even in January. Now the porch is frozen and I want to start smoking just to feel close to you. There is no peep from your guitar or scratch, no lyrics being written to the sound of us together. I am alone again, listening for your phantom. When I go out, I feed the horses. And when I'm making pie, he's right there beside me, not sure if he should put his arms around me. End poem.
That was a wonderful read, Naomi, and a fabulous poem. You know, it really takes you through a day in their life and, you know, the bonding that is there. And, you know, I'd make pies from scratch just to lure you to the kitchen, and your arms would eat me whole. We made love in every bedroom but the master. And it's just an epic, right? You know, the storyline is fantastic, and it pulls you through to the very end until she says, I'm alone again listening for your phantom. When I go out to feed the horses, and when I'm making pie, he's right there beside me, not sure if he should just if he should put his arms around me. Yeah, just a fantastic poem, Madeline. What did you think, Leah?
Well, I thought Naomi did such a heartfelt read of this poem, and she brought out those emotions in her voice, which I really appreciate, because it matters to me a lot that people can feel what people are writing here, and this just made me deeply sad.
Yeah, very, very, very sad.
What did you think of the poem, Naomi? Great comment, do you?
Yeah, you know, we were stranded and left together, drinking hot liquids and writing soft songs for your new album. And then, you know, he ends up in prison. I think she said something about that someplace.
Something behind bars.
When I didn't fear the blizzard, you know, you were there when I didn't fear. When you were there, I didn't fear the blizzard of you being behind bars or shiver to the howl of a siren.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened there, and he ended up, you know, probably behind bars in prison. And that's why in the end she says, I'm not sure if he should put his arms around, because, you know, she's like she misses him very much. You feel it in the poem, but still she's in that uncertainty of whether, you know, that's a good choice or not for her. I think that's what I get out of the poem. It's deeply sad, like Louie, like you said. Yeah, very well written. You know, I think this comes right from the heart, you know. You
mm-hmm.
feel the sincerity in it all throughout. Just a wonderful write.
Thank you, Naomi. That was a wonderful comment. I'm going to bring on another caller here. Hello, and welcome to the show, Sawa.
Hello, hello. Hi, everyone.
Hi,
great
Sawa.
Great meeting Naomi. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Sawa.
Hi, Naomi. I know you need to get Bobby, so I'll let you get Bobby and then you can comment. So, right? I think she's on hold, too.
Hello, welcome to the show, Bobby.
Hi. I was right behind
Hey, Bobby.
Sawa.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi,
I beat
Bobby.
You tonight.
You didn't know that, did you?
I beat you tonight.
I beat you both. La 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 la.
No. Actually, I called for earlier, but then I had something happen, and I had to hang up and call again. It's funny. And I'm sorry if you're going to hear a click on my phone when I put myself on mute. I have trouble with my phone, so just let you know.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to comment on the last poem, Zella?
Yes, it's really beautifully read. I agree. So you brought all the emotion. It's just sad. She brings all these beautiful memory and how the bond and how much they love each other and lose someone like this in a prison. It's very heart-wrenching. I really... And it takes a lot of courage to write about such a thing, personal. My heart is with her. Just hearing stuff like this, it really touched my heart. I felt like tears, like Lou, you, I think we have something in common, Lou, you and I. Just really feeling others' pain. It's just, I can't help it. It just touched me. The way you read it, too, I think Naomi brought it to life. So sad.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's a great poem to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Naomi. Thank you, Tala. And Bobby, did you get a chance to hear the poem?
I didn't hear it, but I read it. And I'm sorry I missed what sounds like Naomi's really stellar read. But this is a wonderfully, it's an earthy write. It's very, very close to the earth, very grounded, very close to the heart. This is a woman who basically her life revolves around her relationship, and she's doing her best to make him feel, it sounds like he's appreciated and needed. And the stanza that she repeats, and when I'm making pie, he's right there beside me, not sure if he should put his arms around me. That is just, the whole thing is so genuine, and the word that I'm looking for really failed me on this one, but it is just, it is absolutely spectacular, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a southern charm to her. You're right, ground to, you know, down to earth type of writing. Yeah, you're right. A little bit reminds me a little bit of a Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
I was
thank
almost
you,
thinking
thank you.
Faulkner or Tennessee Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have the next
True.
Poem up. If you wouldn't mind reading it, please.
Oh, it would be my pleasure. Without Words by Incubus 2. Only in the early morning breeze through a half-open window could ever know how much my skin craves to feel your breath. Only the gentle morning dew resting soft upon the roses, delicate petals by my door, could ever know how my lips long to make wet by yours. Only the stars reflecting upon moonlit pools at midnight could ever know how dark my world is without your smiling eyes. Only the winter snowfall on one fragment flower meadows could ever know how cold my life is when you are far from our arms. Excuse me. Only death and the decaying of autumn fruits could ever know just how hollow inside I feel without your smile to reassure me. Only you, my love, and you alone could ever know the real me and know words are ever truly needed when we two are together alone. And the phone. Sorry, just my throat was itchy. Sorry about that.
It was a beautiful read and a very touching poem. You know, you can feel the love and reverence that he has for his partner in this poem. Only death and the decaying of autumn fruits could ever know just how hollow inside I feel without your smile to reassure me. You know, we get a lot from another person's smile. There's a uniqueness and a beauty that shines through the smile. And it lifts us up and elevates us and carries us aloft into a brighter day. And I thought that was beautifully expressed there. What did you think, Lee?
Well, I thought this was beautifully read by Selwa, and I really love Incubus's words here. You know, not all of us are people who really know us, know our insecurities, know our fears, and know what abuses we've been through. And they love us anyways. They love us however we are. But the only person that really knows that is the person that we're in a relationship with, where they really shows how much you miss this person, you know, because he says that right here. It says, only the stars reflecting upon moonlight pools at midnight could ever know how dark my world is without your smiling eyes. I don't know why I'm crying today. Sorry.
Oh, touching poetry tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I got here. Very touching.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Bobby.
Not at all.
Great,
this one, I just want to say this goes beyond love. This is reverence. This is veneration and adoration. This is a person who is just so they exalt in this other person's presence. What I was ever thinking about this. Okay, we have I miss you until I am healed from you. Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
By Dutch Tulips. That's cute. I miss you until I am healed from you. A compliment is given, and I am waiting for the, it's a joke, laughter sounds through the room. I'm looking at me. I miss you. I miss your verbal stabs. I miss your eyes going up and down my body, one eyebrow raised. I miss your light, sarcastic, that is what you are wearing today, followed by the inevitable joke. I miss sitting on the edge of my seat. Here you come. Just checking the clock. My brain and heart miss you more than you could ever fathom. Every sense of freedom I now have. Smell. Your being fade from my memory until you are no longer alive in me. End of poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful read, Bobby. And it's a touching, sad poem. You know, it really hits you in the old cockles, as they say. Yeah, it hits you. It's hard hitting in the heart. You know, it. The emptiness and the sadness is there. The longing is there and is palpable. What did you think, Lee?
Well, you know, her title perfectly matches this whole thing. I miss you until I am healed from you. You know, do we ever really get healed, or do we just learn how to live on? And, you know, and then she, you know, obviously this person kept her on her toes all the time, was always making her laugh, always making her joke. And she says, you know, especially with that first stanza, which was my favorite until you start getting, which is still my favorite, but then she opens up what it was that made her laugh, was this person that she's deeply missing. Wonderful read, Bobby, and wonderful poem.
Thank you. Thank you, Leah. And, Selwa, what did you think?
It's very emotive and beautifully read, Bobby. From the title, I miss you until I'm healed from you. Sometime, I'm not sure, like you miss someone, but they're not in their life, and they always leave something that you cherish, and it hurts so much that you want to heal from
from missing them. I love that. And how someone who makes you laugh, that's a sign of really love. If they can make you laugh and be yourself. I miss your verbal stabs. I miss your eyes. Your verbal stabs kind of maybe like something, an alarm for me that verbal stabs, someone who stabs you with verbs is not something happy, in my opinion. But you still love him. I miss your light sarcastic that was your wearing today, followed by an inevitable joke. So it's just a mix of feeling, I feel like. Missing ever since freedom, I now have taste, and even smell makes the being fade from my memory. It's almost like when you're free from them, but still missing them. That's what I see. I might misread it, but that's what I see in this poem.
Yeah, I can see that. And Naomi, what did you think?
I love how she opens up, you know. You'll get the real sense of the character of the person there as she describes him. And it, you know, I can just imagine him, the person there, whether it's a girl or a guy or a boy there, you know, just joking around, you know, always saying that thing, you know. And then, you know, when she gets down, I love the stands. I miss sitting on the edge of my seat when I hear you come in the house and checking the clock. My brain and my heart miss you. And then, you know, to that down, to that last stanza, until you are no longer alive in me. So I think this is very well written all the way through and beautiful, right?
That was a wonderful comment. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
An interesting piece. It's it hits on several levels, as far as I'm concerned. It's a compliment is given, and I'm waiting for the "it's a joke." Laughter sounds through the room, and I'm looking. She misses this person. But she says, "I miss your verbal stabs. Miss your light sarcastic. Is that what you're wearing today?" Followed by the inevitable joke. I've had people in my life who would say hurtful things and immediately follow them with, "Oh, I was just joking," or "I was just kidding." And that thin veil is that's sham. That's a charade. That's them actually, you know, striking out at you and then trying to blunt it by disguising it. Until you get it to the point where you hear it so much, you expect to hear a joke afterwards, and you know it isn't. You know it's them being hurtful, and they know they're hurting you, but they seem to gain their own self-esteem from the little gouges they take out of you, the little emotions. Gouges, and that's what I see here. And the problem is that you were with this person, you care about them, and you know what they're doing, but you're still going to miss them. That's why I think her title is "I Miss You Until I Am Healed from You" is absolutely perfect and spot on. Said every smell makes your being fade from my memory until you are no longer alive in me. And that's what she's going to have to do. And she writes it so beautifully that I can feel the emotion. I can feel in barbs every once in a while. That the constant drip of criticism, and all you want to hear is something nice, but all you ever hear is little barbs and little cutting comments. And this is such a visceral piece for me that.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. That was a great comment. Okay, I've got the next poem here. This is by Random Scribbler, and it's titled, "What Have You Done to Me?" I see you when you're not there. I think of you when you're right next to me. I talk to you as if you are there. I feel you as if you have just touched me. I dream of you, sleeping or awake. What have you done to me? I miss you when I am not missing you. End poem. I liked it. It was short and to the point, very direct. I love you when you are not there. I see you when you are not there. I think of you when you are right next to me. You know, that's a bond right there that's deep and powerful. What did you think, Lee?
Great.
Yep.
Hello? Okay, I wasn't sure if you heard.
Hello?
Yeah. You know, you did a great job in reading this. You know, this is the question, you know, it's funny how sometimes when you break up with somebody or that person that you're in a relationship is not there, whether they're gone for work or whether you had a breakup or whether, you know, they're in the military and they've, you know, they're off training and stuff like that, you know. And when you miss somebody so much, it's funny how you'll smell something or see something or and it feels as if they were right next to them because you're thinking of them. And, you know, it just shows that the heart and the mind keep searching for the person that we love. Good read. Good poem.
Thank you, Liu. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with Liu. You know, I think that she explained the poem very well. I think it resumes all in that last sentence, you know, I miss you when I'm not missing you. You know, she still missed that. That really sums it up, you know. Great write by Random Scribbler here.
Thank you, Naomi. And Sawa, what did you think?
Sawa?
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I kind of felt like I'm not there for a second. I love this poem. Really beautiful. When you're so much in love with someone and then you're separated from them, you just, as you said, I agree with Naomi, explained it so beautifully. I just, everything make you miss that person. You think of them constantly. And you imagine that you're talking to them because you want to be with them. I really like it. It's just beautifully said and deep emotive feelings and genuine.
Thank you, Sawa. Great comment. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Interesting, because it talks about when the person's there and when they're not there. So it hits on the duplicity of missing someone sometimes when they're gone and sometimes when they're not gone. And I like the fact that, but what have you done? It seems like anyone that inside the barricades that we let see our real there. That's my, sorry. That's my,
you are,
sorry. Entertaining, I'm sorry.
You're cutting off, Bobby.
There we go.
Yeah, you were cutting off a bit.
Yeah, my message was alerting me that a message was coming in and I couldn't get it to stop. But it seems like sometimes, when someone's with us, we find ourselves. It's like the feeling I used to get when I was married and I was crazy in love with my husband. I mean, even when we left the house and I knew I was going to see him at the end of the day, the minute I see him leave, I'd start missing him. You see him pull out of the driveway and you start missing him. Or it's like family. You see him pulling out, go home, and you're missing them already, knowing you're going to see them, but you still miss them. Or sometimes you're sitting in the room with them. And you know they're going to go home. Or like you've got family that lives somewhere else in the country or in the world. They come visit you. You're glad to see them, but you look at them in the room with you, and you miss them already because you know they're not going to stay. So it's
agreed.
Beautifully. Very complex, right, and beautifully done.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Liu, I have the next write-up, if you don't mind, please.
And this is titled, No Word by Liquid Mind Forever. For words exist of man, who twists and twists demands, who takes and breaks each plan, leaves but stardust dirty sand. Eternal breath, a soundless word, in stillness may be heard. So simple, only simple understand. The lost and found within truth's hand. A word of mine, be rest assured, no foolish man has ever heard. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. And, you know, this is a deep poem. You know, it's what, 10 lines, and it's just packed with depths of pain and loss and being alone. And I thought it was just beautifully penned. What did you think, Naomi?
Well, I think she's she's like scorned here. Well, that's what I feel. Like no foolish man has ever heard. I could be wrong. You know, but who takes and breaks each plan, leaves but sawdust, dirty sand. You know, it's as if you're not going to hear those words, I miss you, if you leave me and you go on to something else. That's what I get from the poem. It's like she's being affirmative. She's standing up for herself in this poem. I could be wrong, but that's my interpretation. I think it's wonderfully written. It's just so assertive. Another
excellent.
Beautiful write by Liquid Mind Forever. She always writes so amazingly well.
Wonderful comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Salwa, what are your thoughts?
I am with you in this, Naomi. Beautifully read, do you? Just, there's nothing to be said, no words. There's nothing that's done. I love how she, just the way she explained it, and I mean, the choice of words is incredible. Eternal breath, the soundless word, and stillness may be heard. So simple, only simple, understand the lost and found within truth's hand. It is his lost. And she finished it with a word of mine, be rested assured, no foolish man has ever heard. I feel like it's almost sarcastic too. Like that's what you want, you deserve it. I'm not someone who's very confident. And I'm sure even though there must be pain, but she's not going to be, let her, this person hurt her with his twist and his demands.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Great comment. Thank you, Salwa. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
From a technical point of view, couplets are beautiful. She's got a great assonance. Here. She's got beautifully done at the end of each line. It's a very economical write, and as you had said, so much feeling, so much comes forth in just those 10 simple lines. But here's, she's basically, I think, I agree with you, Naomi. I don't think, it's your opinion, so you, how can you be wrong? But I agree with you. I agree that here's a woman who, while, you know, she's tried to make relationships and has found that they just, for whatever reason, the partner is not holding up their end of the bargain. For word exists of man who twists and twists, who takes and breaks each plan. Basically, it sounds like that they're self-serving. And they're not interested in her, you know, in her. So she's resolved at the end. A word of mine, be rest assured, no foolish man has ever heard. She's basically said to, you know, to the world, I'm going to take care of myself here, because no one else will take care of me the way I need to be. So it is. I think it is a tremendously empowering rite, even for its brevity.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, what I saw in this is is that, you know, where she's, you know, the quote is, I miss you. Okay. So for me, I agree with what everybody said, but in that fourth couplet, so simple, only simple understand, the lost and found within truth's hand. And for me, I agree with what everybody says, but she's basically to me is, I will miss you depending on how you treat me. Be rest assured if you treat me bad. Be rest assured if you treat me bad out the door. Don't let the dough hit your ass on the way out.
Go.
So you hear it as a cautionary. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Great comments, everybody. And Naomi, would you mind reading the next one, please?
Okay, this is from In Chains, and it's called From the Soul. Our memories were those stringed together, rosebuds submerged in cosmic, dust flooded by eyes, waterfalls and solid mud on all day grassland walks, along fingertips buried in spitball sand with pregnant clouds all around. We flew over blue hermit moons in uneven skies, kissed by the pixelated edges of a galaxy's bruised light. It was when hurried paupers, queens sat upon tilted 9-inch pedestals just like you and I, as we walked hand in hand and our hair follicles caressed sunlight's suicide, until the pressure point of uncooked smiles set back deep in the darkness of a shadow's cardiac rhythm across a very crooked mile, colored in rich clay like waterproof fingerprints with dirt sprinkles upon years of red anthill wares. Ball of clotted sun in hourglass bottle, at sleep found again where our parted minefield palms with spray paint pure dead blossom stabbed between heaven's blackened gate. Yesterday has gone away. My sea-rippled body floats until death. And
Well, and in her author's note, she says, the truth is, I am alone. But what a haunting, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's full of deep metaphor, and it's the picture it paints is quite beautiful in that it's tragic at the same time. In the darkness of shadows, cardiac rhythms across a very crooked mile, colored in what rich clay, like waterproof footprint with dirt sprinkled upon years of red anthill wares. It's a fascinating, right? And what did you think, Leah?
Well, I thought that Naomi read this very well, and this poem is just dripping in pain and promises being broken, where she talks about how, you know, her memories with this person, you know, she felt that they were submerged together in cosmic dust that just, you know, flooded her. I mean, when somebody makes you feel like that, you feel weightless that you could do anything. And then, you know, like she starts talking, the, you know, the beautiful memories mixed in with what is cutting her so deeply. Fingertips buried in spitball sand with pregnant clouds all around. When you make promises to somebody, promises, and then you don't keep them, you know, those are like daggers, just daggers. And, you know, I'm not going to, I mean, I could comment on every stanza, but I'll let somebody mm-hmm. else comment.
Thank you, Leah. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, my gracious. This is just like a masterful stroke of imagery all throughout and metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
Just beautiful. I mean, so rich. And, you know, it it emphasizes, like Lou, you said, all the pain that's felt. You know, it brings out all that emotion. Just a superb right here by In Chains.
Thank you, Naomi. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness, I agree with everyone. It's just so emotive. You feel like the pain is bleeding from every word. She has a way of, the imagery is so unique, how she juxtaposed, like, positive, happy, and sad in the same stanza. The contrast brings this pain deeply, crooked, mild colors, which they like waterproof, footprints with dirt sprinkles. The contrast is incredible. Upon years of red of until with something that happening for years, and it just really sad, very deep. You know, one breaks my heart when people go through this. It's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. Great comment.
A pleasure.
And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Very complex, right? Very layered. Very skilled. It has a great deal of complexity. The metaphors are crafted exquisitely. Reading this poem to me is like popping the lid off of a box of Godiva and trying to figure out which one you want is first. You're inundated with the beauty and the sumptuousness of it, but she's got some. I'm looking at the second stanza. We flew over blue hermit moons, and uneven skies kissed by the pixelated edges of a galaxy bruised. I'm still trying to decode hurried paupers. Sat upon tilted 9-inch pedestals. But we walk hand in hand, and our hair follicles caressed white suicide. I would never have thought of putting those two words together, but they work. They work beautifully. And just the whole thing in the darkness of a shadow's cardiac rhythm across a very crooked mile covered in rich clay. It's an exquisite rite. I've already stuck it in my favorites. This is a supremely skilled writer, and I enjoyed listening to this thoroughly. I'm probably going to go back and reread this several times.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Sawa, you're up next, please.
Sure. Give me 1 second. I'm sorry, this was refreshing. Where is it? Okay. It's by, how do you say the name? Sinaroibis.
Mm-hmm.
Rapper, sorry if I didn't say it properly. I miss you from farthest cell. Okay. I miss you from my farthest cell. My eyes and turn, not on fast. But I don't crave your sinful lust. I'm happy with the way two orbs blast. But I'm left alone like a windless mast. For years flew like jets, neither seen your blooming face nor heard the scratches of my gait. This is a way hard to gulp my most in faith. For the way I feel lonely, even my words can scale its depth. The missing soul has platinum pull that fell from far to cell solemnly. I miss you, oh my God. Stop this wind, left bag. Pull your scented breath into my deepest trove. Base up your void bed with your missing dove. End of poem.
Wonderful read, Sawa. And, you know, this is very poetic in its approach.
Yeah.
My eyes turn and not on last, but I don't crave your sinful lust. I am happy with the way two orbs blast, but I'm left alone like a windless mass. Yeah, just an epic... you can feel the longing in this piece. You can tell he misses this person. What did you think, Leah?
Oh, I thought it was wonderfully read. You did a great job, Sawa, and I also enjoyed this poem because, you know, he's talking about how much he misses this person. And then it says, you know, I guess she, this person maybe, God, what do you call those people who work on the airplanes?
Flight attendant.
Stewardess. Yeah, like a stewardess, you know. I don't know. Because she says that she comes in and out constantly. He says, for years, you flew like a jet. I don't know if she's a student. I don't know if she's a stewardess. He says that he never sees, you know, her blooming face. It says that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't hear. He's listening for his front grate, the screeches of the front grate to open so he doesn't have to cry because he misses this person so much. I enjoyed it. Good read, Zawa.
Oh, thank you.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I think that first of all, this poem has a very beautiful rhythm and flow, all through. Is it a stewardess, like Lou says? Is it somebody who flies all the time, or is that just a metaphor he's using because the person is, you know, not there, you know? I don't know, but it leaves to interpretation. I think you can take it as you read it, as you see it, this poem. And, I think it's a beautifully written all the way through. They're just bravo on this piece.
Great comment. Thank you. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, it's really beautiful. The composition itself, the rhyming, amazing, masterfully done, and kind of enforced the emotion. I love the farthest cell, every part of him, miss her, and show how they are distant already. There's separation and distance for far to set repetition again and again. And then, where is it? For the way I feel lonely, even my words can scale its depth. Even words cannot enough to show how much he missed her. The missing soul has plenty pull this that is left from far to set so lonely. Beautifully, amazing wording. I had to really just read it like again and again to absorb it. Just beautifully done. I agree. It's a great point, Lou. You always put you really put the saying. They say this in French, but I don't know if they say it in English. You put the dots on the letters. I don't know if the same meaning in English or not. Maybe now we can understand what I'm trying to see. Le point sur le. You find it exactly where you put the dots.
Great. Thank you so much. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think this is a very romantic piece. The rhyming is beautifully done. From a technical point of view, I mean, it has cadence. It's very well written. And it communicates the message.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like this person's in and out of the protagonist's life, and he would have it otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Naomi, I put your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, well, this isn't a Miss You poem, but it's a short little write that I wrote. It's a short little thing I wrote the other day, just a little quick write. It's called While Sucking on an Orange. What is your name? And what is your favorite color? What color was the sky on that third day I saw you? When that duck quacked a little too loud and startled you while you were writing by the pond. The sky was the color of sticky peach halves and wet cotton candy, the bubble gum kind, and the rest faded to a blur due to the dark blueness in your eyes as you looked over and smiled at me. Oh yes, I remember that sky of peach and me standing sucking on an orange, tacky-fingered and smelling of citrus, T-shirt front all stained, warm with dribbles of juice, and how I didn't care how messy I looked, 'cause that day I learned your name and your favorite color and the taste of you and poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And, you know, how pretty is that picture that you paint of the sky was the color of sticky peach halves and wet cotton candy, the bubblegum kind, and the rest faded to a blur due to the dark blueness in your eyes as you looked over and smiled at me. You know, you can picture all this as it happens, and I thought it was just beautifully written. Excellent read as well, Naomi.
Thank
and
you.
And Lee, what did you do? Absolutely.
Well, you know what? To me, this was a very endearing poem, okay? It was just, she took just the simple act of sucking on a, and you know, I mean, how many times have you started eating a piece of fruit and you're not going to know how juicy it is? You just don't know until you bite into it. By then, it's rolling on your lips, down your chin, and dripping on your shirt. So I literally could see this, and I could see you looking around the park, and, you know, being a poet, you're going to notice these beautiful colors that surround you while you're eating this sweet, juicy fruit. And then something happens. But I'm going to stop there so I can let somebody else comment. But I loved it, Naomi.
Thank you, Liu.
Beautiful comment, Liu. Thank you. And Salwa, what did you think?
I can't stop laughing because I love how you just like really thorough. You put your, you take us in the moment with so much description. As Louis said, like literally, as we see, if you're there, take something simple and turn it to romantic. I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
How you think, stand there watching the sky and all this beautiful and sucking, and then, oh yes, I remember the sky of peach and me standing sucking in an orange, and you're dripping in your juice. It's just beautifully done. The ending is incredible, and how I didn't care, messy I looked, caused that. Day I learn your name and your favorite color and the taste of you. Just it's so romantic. You mix the two, like the nature and the moment, and the orange with ending with such a romantic, and you just leave it to the reader. Just amazing. I love your writing, Naomi. Truly, you always make me smile. Sometimes you make
Thank
me cry.
Thank you, Paula.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Salwa. Great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
This is a superb piece. It I'm so focused on it. I'm trying to pick my way through my thoughts. What I like about the writing, your writing, this particular piece especially, this exemplifies how in our lives, in all of our lives, a moment of a monumental impact is there and gone, and we don't even realize it's happened. Yet you've captured it. Here you've met this person who has just moved you. The everyday surroundings about you. You've painted a beautiful word picture here. You've got all kinds of, you've got taste. You've got a sight. You've got sound. The duck that quacked a little too loud. You can see everything, the dark blueness in his eyes as you looked over and smiled. And it just, it is a great example of how we pass through these moments in our lives and we don't even realize that we've done it. But you have captured it with all its simple elegance. The sky of peach, your stained T-shirt, and the fact that, and that day I learned your name and your favorite color and the taste of you. What a beautiful ending. I really enjoy this. I think it is a superb write.
Thank you, Bobby.
Very romantic. Thank you, Bobby. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Naomi?
Oh, no. Yeah. Thank you all for your wonderful, wonderful comments.
That was unexpected. Okay. Oh, go ahead, say something.
So hilarious.
Salo, I have your poem up. If you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Okay, I changed my poem because I felt like the team is missing and break, just for some reason. So let me continue this theme. A rupture. Okay. Je t'aime, mais je t'ai quitté. Je voudrais commencer par mon amour pour être lu par des yeux lointains. La seule chose dont je suis certaine à cette heure tardive, c'est que je t'aime. Pourtant, nous nous connaissons à peine, jamais rencontrés face à face. Nos longs échanges m'ont paralysé le cœur, une chance de rencontrer le destin d'un volet. L'amour nous emmène parfois soudainement sur un chemin que je n'aurais jamais emprunté. Une ombre invisible nous a séparés. Je t'aime, j'aime ton humanité, ta tendresse cachée. Je sais que j'aurais fait de toi l'homme le plus heureux. Je t'aurais donné mon amour, ma pureté, tout mon moi, ma vie. Et toi, tu m'aurais aimé d'un immense amour. J'avais hâte de te connaître plus que tu avais hâte de me connaître. Mes peurs et mes faiblesses ne t'ont guère plus. L'angoisse de ne pas comprendre mon angoisse me faisait mal au cœur. Tes imperfections, j'ai compris leurs racines, je les ai acceptées. Je regrette de t'avoir quitté trop vite. Vraiment, je t'aime, certes, tu le sais. Mon cœur t'aime, un amour jamais né. C'est vrai que je suis timide. Toutefois, mon cœur désire que tes yeux en flamme me fassent rougir pour de vrai. Mon cœur t'aime toujours et tu résonneras dans mes rêves. Quand la rivière coulera, je me sentirai seule et mes désirs me hanteront. Mes mots m'alourdiront de chagrin. Je vais fermer les yeux et me souvenir. Je laisserai la pluie laver ma douleur et la montagne enterrer mes larmes à ses pieds. I love you, but I left. I would like to start with my love to be read by a distant eye. The only thing I'm sure about this late hour is that I love you. We hardly knew each other, never met face to face. Our long exchanges pacified my heart. Chance to meet, the fate has stolen it. Love sometimes suddenly take us down a path and never take an invisible shadow to separate us. I love your humanity, your hidden tenderness. I know I would have made you the happiest man. I would have given you my love, maturity, my whole self, my life. And would you have loved me with an immense love? I was eager to know you more than you were eager to know me. My fears and my weakness you didn't like. Anguish of not understanding, my anxiety hurt my heart. Your imperfection understood their roots and accepted them. I regret that I left you quickly. Really, I love you, surely you know. My heart loves you, love never born, it's true, I'm shy. However, my heart desires that your eyes and flame make me blush for real. My heart still loves you and resonates in my dreams. When the river will flow, I will feel lonely. My desire will haunt me. My element will weigh me down with sorrow. I will close my eyes and remember. I will let the rain wash my pain and the mountain bury my tears at its foot and the foam.
Wow. That was an incredible write. A very long piece for you, but just a beautiful poem that pulls you through and holds your attention right to the very end, and it's a very sad end at that. I will let the rain wash my pain and the mountain bury my tears at its foot. Just an epic poem. Fantastic job, Sela.
Thank you so
beautiful
much.
Beautiful like your soul. And Louie, what do you think?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello? Can you hear
me? Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah.
I'm trying. I'm still trying to learn how to use this button. I always push the wrong one. You know, Salwa, I am glad I didn't read this because I would have broke out more tears. You know, this was, it's painful, and no matter what language you read this in, when you love someone and you love them with every cell and essence of your being, but they don't mirror you in the same manner. You know, you can love everything about this person, but if they don't understand you or understand your problems or understand your anxiety or understand what you're going through, then that's like being on a bicycle only going one way when you cannot go the other way. It's impossible to go the other way because no matter how much you understand them, the same understanding has to be shown to you. You know, in order for that love to be unlocked and unleashed. I'm so sorry you went through this. It's deeply sad.
Oh, thank you, love. Love you. Thank you, my Louie.
I love you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Louie. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, when Salwa reads in French, I always think it's just for me. So.
<That's> so
and it's so beautiful, you know. So beautiful when she reads in French. You know, this is really, you know, deep. It's so rich with emotion all the way through. You just feel it. You just swim. You're overtaken, you know, by it. You know, I have an impression, you know, you have the, we never met face to face. Our long exchanges palsied my heart. A chance to meet the fate has stolen it. Makes me think a long distance relationship, maybe texting or something, and you never got to meet the person and it just faded out. That's what I got the impression of here. It's just beautiful. And you know, that last line, you know, that Gray already cited, the rain wash my pain and the mountain bury my tears at its foot. You know, wow, you know, that's just amazing, you know, lines there. But all through this, just an awesome, awesome right, you know. Just beautiful, Salwa, all the way through. Bravo.
Merci, Naomi. Merci, Naomi.
Ah, bienvenue.
You're so supportive.
Thank you, Naomi, for a great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, Salwa knows I love poetry. So this reminds me of the romantic written between famous authors. You know, they write out Browning, Elizabeth Barrett Browning to Robert Browning. I think Oscar Wilde wrote to his lover. But it reminds me because you speak of a meeting in face-to-face. And that's what makes me think it's a love affair born of writing, of exchanging ideas, of exchanging words. And yet you're still, the long exchanges palsied my heart, a chance to meet the fate has stolen it. It's like you've been pen pals with this person for a long time. You toyed with the idea of meeting one another, and yet for some strange reason, you've not quite crossed the Rubicon. And now you feel as though the moment is gone. And it is such an achingly beautiful piece, because I think we've all been in a position where we've wanted to meet someone, and it reminds me of a film I was watching the other day. He says, one character was looking at another character and says, you know that moment you were talking about where you wanted or how you felt, he said, well, that was it. And it was just gone. and he missed it. He missed his opportunity. And I think we've all felt that way at some time. And this is just, you really feel deeply for this person, but for some reason they don't understand complexity.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bobby. And I'd like to welcome Frank to the show, a.k.a. Poetic
Hey,
Picasso.
Frank.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
Hello there,
Salo.
Hi.
Yeah, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing all right, my friend. A little bit tired, but I thought I'd hang up for a bit here till the end of the show, if my phone permits me, of course.
Which
always
okay.
is the battle there.
You. Well, you called just in time to hear yours read. So,
Do you want me to comment on? Well, do you want me to comment on?
Well,
I've
got all the girls here.
Piece?
Yes.
Please. Well, I mean, I didn't hear the poem, but I've actually read this poem before, and I did comment there. I just thought it was a breathtaking piece. It was. I like the truth and the admission that's being reflected in the poem, and I like the emotions expressed with sincerity. That's what I wrote here, and I still feel it now after I've read the poem. I just think that Sawa has a wonderful ability of just, I've said it to her before, of taking us, you know, down the journey there of her thoughts or emotions there. And this is the type of poetry that is most reminiscent of great writers and as well as poets. We can find common ground and we can relate to poetry. And when she writes her poetry, certainly we all can relate to what she writes. And she does a wonderful job using metaphors in particular to describe, her poetry, and that's something that I've always said to her, I admire her for that.
Oh, thank you so much, Frank. Appreciate it. Appreciate you all. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
The great moment. Would you like to say anything about your poem, Sawa?
No, thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, Bobby, you're up next, please.
Uh-oh, no pressure here.
Oh, whoops, I thought it was Frank. Oh.
Yeah, who's up next?
It's you, Bobby.
Okay. You got the wrong poem up.
Bobby's is up, too.
Yeah.
I've got a brevity, so I'll get the hell out of his way in a big hurry. Everyone, mark your calendar. Bobby's about to read a brevity. It was for a contest, and the prompt was the picture. And it took me a while it captured me, but I couldn't quite crystallize what I was thinking. And then all of a sudden, one morning, it came to me. And I named it, She Must Be Free. Such is her need for freedom, that to live her life confined to one space, restricted to a solitary patch of ground, to be imprisoned in one town, one city, one country, to be forced to live a life of captivity that does not permit her to explore the world, is to live life like a mermaid. Trapped in a tiny goldfish bowl. End poem.
Oh, wow. That was a beautiful read. And a fantastic brevity. You know, it's so filled with depth of emotion, and it's powerful in its descriptors. To be forced to live a life of captivity that does not permit her to explore the world is to live life like a mermaid trapped in a tiny goldfish bowl. Yeah, haunting imagery. Fantastic, right? What did you think, Lee?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, got to make sure I'm not on mute. Okay. You know, Bobby, you did a fantastic job. What you did with the imagery here was masterful. Because for me, how many times
have we seen or haven't felt that somebody is living their life in a fishbowl? And then for you to just totally just bring out that imagery and discuss it, you know, that restricted to a solitary patch of ground, that feeling of imprisonment, to be in prison in one town, one city, one country, you know, to live in captivity, those words grip at the terror of my heart, but also how many people live this type of life, not some people are happy with this type of life, to live in one town and know everybody. Other people, their minds want to know more. They want to experience life. And, you know, that blankness on her face, you know, I really thought you captured the horror of, for me, this is a horror to have to live like this. You know, especially if you're gregarious and like to travel and want to see things and experience life. I thought this was brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Great comment, Louise. And Naomi, what did you think?
I echo Lou, you on this just superb brevity. I mean, it says so much in so few words here. You know, you just captured that prompt just spectacularly. Is that a word, spectacularly? But anyway, in just a spectacular way, I make up my own words in English. Yeah, you just, like Lou, you said, the expression, of almost like passive, I don't know, but that expression on her face is just like she's just, accepted with fatality her situation. Pardon me?
Not living.
She's just like lifeless there, and you captured that so well. And she is like a mermaid, trapped in a tiny goldfish bowl. This is just just witty, I think, so clever, and written right straight to. Forward, to that prompt there, and so such brio. So bravo on this, right, Bobby.
Great comment, Naomi, thank you. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, I agree with everyone. Really beautiful, just an exquisite piece. You said a lot with powerful words. I feel like there's more into it. I mean, your mind can take you, it's truth. It could be a woman or a man. But in this one, I don't know why. I feel I relate to it because I've been in this place myself before. When you say such is her need for freedom, that to live her life confined to one space, restricted to solitary patch of ground, to be in prison in one town. Like women who have not really want the freedom. They're not happy in the relation or being literally captive of this relation. They just want to, that imagination, they want to fly away from this, explore the world, and not like necessarily outside of country, but explore their own world, be out of this confinement and prison. And it's true, you feel like you are beautiful, like how, like a mermaid trapped in a tiny eagle, cannot breathe, not enough space, amazing, really spoke to me. Because I felt this before myself, and I'm sure this would be amazing, empowering for so many women.
Great comment, Noah. And Frank, what did you think?
Okay. Well, this is, what everyone's saying is just what, it's what I think as well, but when I saw, what's in the AP there, the dedication there that she put there, Bobby, I really tried to focus on what you were saying there. I thought it was an exceptional brevity with deep layers of truth in imagery. But of course, once you know what the poem is referred to, then there is a touch more of value, of meaning to it. And I thought the poem was just a beautiful write. Did a wonderful job.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And Bobby, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Well, I'm glad Frank called out the dedication, because the dedication is to my beloved child of my heart, my very own beautiful Alana, swim free, my precious mermaid, and explore the world. She is the daughter I never had. Known her since she was born. She and I are extremely close. She calls me her bonus mom. And she calls me her bonus mom. Matter of fact, her freshman year in college, her mom and I went to visit her, and she was introducing us as her two moms. And I said, Alana, I said, you're going to create the wrong impression. And sure enough, one of her roommates said, oh, your mom is a lesbian? That is so cool. You know? she's finished post grad, and she's at that stage in her life that I think we can all look back on, where she's embarked out on her own. She's with her beau. They traveled a couple of months ago cross country by car from here to Berkeley, where he is doing his post-grad. She's got a job. She's 24 years old now. Like I said, I've known her since she was born. I am so proud of her and the fact that she's exploring her world. I just spoke to her last night, too. They're together, and she sent me a picture. It was his birthday. She's making a cake. She looks so damn happy. I couldn't believe it. I remember that period of my life, and I told her, I said, absorb every moment of this that you can, because you will never go through this again. I said, realize that this is so precious and so rare, and that's why she sees what she's like, my beautiful mermaid, exploring the world.
Aww.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, Frank, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. This is by Jack Tom Kovic. It's called Monet Painted Lunch, and it goes like this. The palate plentifully plated with bris bright flavors, half-foot rainbow strokes as if Monet himself painted lunch. Roquefort, Stilton, tangy stew, spears with extra garlic. He might lose his sight, but not his nose. Dined on just cut oranges, juicy, dripping wet. Finished with dark Belgian chocolate with sea salt. Her kisses, sweeter than honey wine. End of poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, Frank. But, you know, this is a wonderful poem. You can see it as it's written, the palette plentifully plated with brisk and bright colors, half-foot rainbow strokes as if Monet himself painted lunch. And then the reference to Roquefort and Stilton, tangy dill spears with extra garlic. He might lose his sight, but not his nose. But no, I thought it was a fantastic poem. Excellent read, Frank. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, what I liked, well, for me, what I liked here was he was enjoying his life and his love. And, you know, your mouth can experience so many different flavors and tastes that images can burst into your mind. And so his Monet lunch, he talked about they had tangy dill spears, that sour taste, because even your tongue tastes different flavors on different areas of your tongue. And then when you kiss somebody, they can taste those same flavors. So what I really loved was how he painted her lips with kisses with the food that they were serving that they enjoyed together. Her kiss was the paintbrush to his mind. This was wonderful.
Beautiful comment, Lydia. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is just rich with imagery and color, and it spikes all our senses here. I just loved it, the way he opened it up there in that first stanza. He sets the plate for what's going to follow there, the brisk, bright colors, the half rainbow strokes, the roquefort and stilpen, tangy dill spears with extra garlic. I just love how he incorporated food into this, and so many different, sights and flavors and it's just marvelous, just witty, clever writing all the way through, and impactful. I think, it just throws a punch there. It's just beautiful writing, just wonderful.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
I agree with everyone, and I love how, I think I found it brilliant how he amalgamates art, food, and love. It's just, and it shows how much someone enjoying life, enjoying art, enjoying the food, enjoying love, and I agree, it's very spicy and flavor and awaken so many sensations. And has a humor in it, too. I couldn't help it but laugh. He might lose his side, but not his nose. a touch of humor there. Amazing. Someone who really know how to enjoy life. Good for you. Great.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
My pleasure.
Well, this is a rich sensory experience. It's got colors and flavors and aroma. Monet painted lunch. I love the title. It is just the way he's crafted this. It's like a multi-course meal, and it's exquisitely done. Art and the author's art and food always seem to go together. Or me, and that's true. I mean, how many of us can think back and remember one particular meal that we had, a dessert or a dinner or something, where it was just one of those, and it wasn't complex, but it was something that will stay with us forever. And for me, it was a plate of gnocchi with tomato sauce at a small trattoria just outside of Santa Maria del Fiore in Florence.
Yeah.
And I remember that plate of gnocchi for as long as I live.
Yeah. I have a beef enchilada that I think back to 20-some-odd years ago.
There you go.
Absolutely. But that was a wonderful comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought the piece, yes, I'm getting to, I would say this is, I'm starting to get more acquainted with his writing, and I do notice as well his humor, which he does a superb job there. This is just a tempting poem, with the elements of art reflected there, with the elements of course, of food, And what I really enjoy about this piece here is something that I always, it's woken me up, at least from my dormant stupor, I would say. Just the notion of the chocolate and wine, two things that I have to have, very much, very important. Those two things, they resuscitate me, you would say. But I thought it was a great, great poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank.
Yeah,
okay, I have the next poem up. And this is by Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that.
I don't need your sympathy. By Martha Gallup. I can see your love has grown cold. It's not something that I don't know. And if you think you need to leave, don't stay here feeling sorry for me. I am stronger than you think. Your leaving won't push me over the brink. I'll be just fine, you see. I can stand up to your leaving me. I don't need your pity or your sympathy. I've got more than you going for me. We've been together for a long, long time, but I can see you're no longer mine. I thought that you'd never love another, but now you do. I won't run for cover. Love is something you can never tell. It can lead to heaven, or it can lead to hell. I don't need your pity or your sympathy. I've got more than you going for me. We've been together for a long, long time, but I can see you're no longer mine. I've been watching you for a while, and I know you wear another smile. So if you don't love me anymore, here I am, holding open the door.
Well, that was full of self-affirmation and, you know, ability in oneself. You did a wonderful job singing it as well. But, you know, I really like that closing stanza. I've been watching you for a while, and I know you're wearing another smile. So if you don't love me anymore, here I am, holding open the door. Don't let it hit you on your ass on the way out. What did you think, Leah?
Well, you know, this takes time to, you know, what I love about her, I love that folk song way that she writes with her emotions. And, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy. You can just tell somebody. You know, she's saying that she's noticed that, you know, that somebody else and that he doesn't love her anymore. And it seems like he doesn't want to leave her because, you know, he wants to stay with her to, you know, just to make sure that she's okay. But then, you know, she can't deal with him cheating. So, you know, it's either me or her, or you're out the door. And I totally agree with that.
Great comment. Thank you, Leah. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, bravo to Martha, you know, for standing up for herself and all this affirmation. And, you know, I do breakups like this myself, you know. It's like I don't linger on them. It's that I have a lot of exes. I'm still friends with them all, too. And some want to come back. And, you know, and no way, you know, I just move on. You know, it's like, I don't know. I just have this way of just being able to, I don't know, maybe some people are built like that, but I'm just the kind that just moves on, you know, where it's finished, that's it. Okay, bye. You know, I just have that ability. Yeah, not everybody has that ability, but I guess I'm just made like that. You know, there's somebody else out there, and, you know, there's a lot of fish in the sea, and, you know, okay, I'm going to go on to greener pastures and to happier times and, you know, and meet somebody maybe more suited for me, and you'll meet somebody more suited for you. And we had that time together, and, you know, it didn't work out. We drew apart or whatever happened, and, you know, if we're not happy anymore, why linger on, you know, just, you know, give good riddance. So, you know, so, but bravo, you know, bravo, Martha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this piece.
Good comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Sal, what did you think?
I agree. Very empowering. I'm stronger than you think. You won't push me over the brink. I'll just be fine. You see, I can stand up to you leaving me. And then instead of him leaving, she'll open the door and just get lost. it's the show, it's really, when women write this kind of write, I think it's great because it can empower other women who don't have it. That's really amazing. Good for you, Martha. And a great comment, both of you, Lulu and Naomi. Keep looking, Naomi.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I'll finally find a French guy who knows Edgar Allan Poe. Or somebody. Or a poet. An English poet sometime.
Thank you. Thank you, Salwa and Noon. Frank, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I'm not certainly French there, so I have to say that, you know, this Martha, it's like going to a jukebox there and just putting in your, you know, what is it, your coin in there.
Oh,
and
true.
You listen to you know, her lyrics there, and you can just relate. You know, if you're sitting there at a jukebox there, whether it's at a bar or a bar restaurant there, and just listening to the lyrics, you know, because it's mostly lyrical what she writes at times, you know. But I do agree with Lou said, you don't have to write profound words. I do that all the time. It's just the words that really matter when you make them personal, like this, and makes it much more beautiful. I just thought the poem was, you know, the whole notion of love. I'm not an expert of love, but I do agree that without it, we cannot live or function as for so long. And I like the whole notion here, what she says about, you know, moving on, about not having to pity, something we do often. But I think this whole notion, I'm not sure if it's in Parliament, perhaps I'm a man, I see it differently, but I think it's a bit of recognition. It's a bit of realizing your fallibility. That is to say that, you know, that you're mortal, you know. And another thing which I like, the line that was just running through my head, was the line there, love is something you can never tell. I agree. You know, you never know when you're in love. You don't know where it goes. The only thing you can know for certain is what you feel. Perhaps it's not something that's right or correct, you know, but I think at times, you know, when it is that simplistic, when you find love, and it's so simplistic that you don't really need to add anything else, and the feelings that you share, then you know that's beautiful.
Absolutely, yeah. Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I'm going to post the next link here. That last link that I posted doesn't work. So I'm going to go to this link. And this is by Lady T9, and it's titled When. I have seen you for years. Just thinking about it makes me go to tears. I miss you so. Even though we're not related. Just wanted to know you to know you're appreciated. I'll get to see you again one day. I know for sure. But can I wait anymore? I miss you so. Can't let you go. Be safe with God. And it says in the author's notes, this was for a woman who was like an aunt to me. So I hope you're happy in heaven. It's touching. It really cinches that poem up into a bow on a present, a gift to the world, showing his appreciation for this aunt, who was like an aunt to him. Yeah, just beautiful, tragic and sad. What did you think, Leah?
You know, growing up in military families, they would say that, you know, that the military families actually became your family when you went anywhere. That was your family, was the other people that were in the same group or area you were in. And blood, love, if you have love that is not, I've seen people the way that they love, they divide their love up. But there's some people who, you don't have to be blood to be family. It's your actions and the love that you show for that mm-hmm. person and the relationship that you've built with them. To me, that is love, family or not family. It's, you know, who loves you and who loves you back. And, how you know, and that's how relationships are built, regardless of bloodline.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. Great comment. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree so much with Luyu there. You know, the only person that really that left me was my grandmother. And, you know, that was long, long time ago. You know, I can't get around my mind of losing somebody that's really, really, really close to me. I haven't went through that yet, you know. I don't know how I'm going to react if when that happens, you know, if I lose one of my parents, maybe because they're getting older, or one of my friends, or, you know, I don't know, you know, this is, it must be awful. So, you know, I sympathize with them, but I, you know, I can't be in their place. I can't feel, but I can sympathize with them. And this is a great testimony, you know, to that person that they lost. So, yeah, my condolences in here, and just a great write.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Salwa, what did you think?
My condolences as well, and I really agree with Luyu and Naomi. It's so touching. I think we are human beings have a choice to connect with people or not, and the one we connect with generally, they are become part of family and close, and it's hard to lose them. I mean, this is really remind me of my own family members and friends and others that like parents for me who are lost. It is so genuine. You can see every word I miss you so, even though we're not related. Just want to, you know, appreciate it. And I feel like they really can hear us and feel that's what I believe. So this is really beautiful and very beautifully said.
Yeah.
Longing
well,
is kind of hard. My pleasure.
Thank you, Sawa. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, you know, I'm going to have to agree with Sawa there, you know. I've gone through my share of loss last year through COVID and so be it. I must lost my parents there. And I have to say that the following year, you know, although it's not a relative year, regardless of that, you know, with Sawa said, we all relate. You know, we choose to relate with each other, you know. If we don't, then it's not like we're inhuman. We're just indifferent. I cannot explain more what I feel with this poem here. You know, just the whole notion, it just brought me those memories, and I apologize if I said that, but that's what came to my heart.
No, so sorry, Frank. And Sawa.
No.
We've all lost so many people.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And Lee, would you mind reading the next one, please?
Okay. Is it by Michael?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Blowing Up Balloons by Michael McDormand. I blew up a dozen free rubber balloons in 59 when the world was 10. Duffy Circus had just come to town. My friends were so excited then. Bruce cream streaks slicked back my hair, and to my corduroy chest was pinned with searching star struck schoolboy flair, a red Caltex badge made of tin, hot nailed lace leather boots beneath, a fleece-lined ear-flapped cap atop, murochrome stained knees between, and garters half-held, half-mastable socks. But contour pockets let others know of abundantly filled glass marble nest strung together by yesterday's chewing gum, won in street challenging for who was best. Well, those days ended so long ago, and no one listening now wants to know about how young schoolboys survived back then when this rambling rhymer was a winner age 10.
I liked it. That was a great read, Lee. But, you know, you can picture all this as he says it. I blew up a dozen free rubber balloons in 59 when the world was 10. Duffy Circus had just come to town. My friends were so excited then. And you can picture his Brill Cream and his slick black hair. And then his old getup of red Caltex badge made of tin, hobnailed leather lace boots beneath, fleece-lined ear capped atop, mercurochrome stained knees in between, and guards half-held masked wool socks. But no, you know, and then the pocket full of marbles is when it got me, because I used to be that kid with a pocket full of marbles that I won in the schoolyard after school, staying so late that I'd get the belt because I was out till too late. yeah, that's where it took me. It took me back to the schoolyard playing marbles after school. What did you think of the right, Naomi?
Yeah, this is amazing imagery, you know. Just takes you back to those years. Well, I'm about 10 years older, but my chewing gum would probably have been in my hair instead of in my pocket. I was such a messy girl. Oh, my gracious, you know. I was so messy and such a – I was a mess. And, yeah, but this is just brilliantly written all through, you know. I just loved the how he used the 10 and when the world was 10, and then he finishes with when this rambling rhymer was a winner, age 10. I just love, you know, how he begins and how he finishes and everything in between. Just an amazing write here.
Thank you, Naomi. Great comment. And Sawa, what did you think?
It's very beautiful. Just take us back to those memory days. Things are simple and enjoying the moment. Just the knees are stained and playing marbles and swing comp. Very delightful. Now these days kids don't play marble. They don't stain. They're just on their computer. It's really refreshing and beautifully beautiful, the wording. I really enjoyed it very much. Take us back to your own memory. Yeah.
Thank you, Stella. Great comment.
Pleasure.
And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, when I was 10 years old, I used to have a ponytail and do some break dancing there. Those days are gone now, of course. I'm sorry, I just had those thoughts just went through my head. And I also thought when he said balloons, I thought of 99 Red Balloons there, an old song there. This is just a fantastic piece, of course, a recollection of our memories there. I'm certain all of us could, you know, all of us could relate to this type of poem here. It's not really a long piece, but it has so much wonderful elements of just childhood, you know, of pre-adolescence, I would say, as well. And, you know, I think we can all, you know, just envision what our lives were. You said marbles, I said breakdancing, and I'm certain everyone else there has their own memories there. But I just thought it was a wonderful piece there. You know, it's a good poem to almost end the show with.
Yeah, so worthy of a front too. I mean, just amazing.
Great comments, everybody. Lou, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was very nostalgic. You know, this just, you know, brought you back to the good old days. And depending where your good old days are from is what you remember. You know, because, I mean, we did break dancing, too. The only thing is I didn't throw myself on the cement and, you know,
on the floor there, you know,
do that worm thing that they do.
Well, you know, hey, you have to be creative at 10 years old, you know.
What is that other thing, everybody, the robot?
Yeah, that wasn't my thing.
Yeah, or everybody would put their arms together and do the wave. Yeah, this is, you know, this is some old nostalgic stuff. You know, You ever realize how much clothes they used to wear in the old days, and there was no air conditioning and heating? Look at the amount that when people talk about, for me, he was saying that nobody wants to hear it. Well, that's not true, because I love talking to my elders. I love hearing what they went through, what they saw, what they went through, you know, and we could learn a lot from our elders if we would just listen.
That's true.
And this was thoroughly enjoyable.
If I can say one quick thing, one quick thing, I used to tear my trousers up there doing those type of movements when I was 10. So, yes, it did not pay off at times. And my mother didn't like that either. Neither, I would say.
Of course, it would make a hole all over your pants.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that thank you, everybody, fun. For calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, everybody.
Love you guys.
Take care, my friends.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Good night, everybody.
Bon nuit.
Great show, thank you. Bon nuit.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, nothing.
Good night.
Hasta luego.